Chapter 6, Looking Inwards. Jeffrey usually has a lot to say. He reads the news every morning and always seems to be consuming media whenever he has free time. He avoids gossip sites and reality television, but he generally learns a few facts each day. No wonder he can connect and relate with people on just about any topic that comes up. Furthermore, he's able to offer his perspectives on the topic. Other people might just answer with one-word replies and not provide insight or analysis. Jeffrey is a blast to talk to because he always seems to be on the same page, and if he's not, he's willing to be curious and learn. You can be Jeffrey or the other person. What's the difference? Jeffrey is a fabulous conversationalist because of his ability to discuss different opinions and perspectives. He's not just putting on an act. He is genuinely a curious person who thirsts for knowledge, information, and varying viewpoints. He has intentionally exposed himself to more of the world, and the more he learns, the less he feels he knows. Become a person with lots of experiences and lots to say. A more succinct way to put it is that you should become the type of person you would like to get to know. You prefer someone who actively skydives over someone who watches television all day. You prefer someone who has something to teach you in an interesting subject. You prefer someone who displays passion and has opinions on a wide range of topics. Are you this person? We might realize that in trying to create our conversation resume, it is surprisingly empty or devoid of anything interesting. We might realize that we actually didn't do anything the past week besides work and eat. We might realize that when others share their new discoveries, we have literally nothing to add. Therefore, the first section of this chapter focuses on looking inwards and becoming someone it's hard to not have a captivating conversation with. Although all of the techniques in this book are effective and useful, if you're the type of person with a lot to share and engage on, you will naturally overlap with them quite a bit. Build thyself. Conversation-worthy people actively pursue what they want. Sitting at home, working 24/7, or always talking about the same things won't make you interesting. In fact, it makes you seem like you have nothing going on in your life, and that may be an accurate assessment. Everyone has everyday experiences they aren't interested in rehashing with others. Most likely, when people ask you what you've been up to, they don't want to hear you say, work. They may laugh and smile, but the conversation stops there because they know any other details from you will probably be boring. But imagine how you could lead the conversation into outrageous twists and turns if you said something else like, I went skydiving. It was so exhilarating, dropping 14,000 feet through the air. My chute almost didn't deploy, but it finally did. Whew. Imagine the questions and comments people would have, but the point here is that you cared enough to take initiative and pursue an interest of yours, not that you're bragging about something you did. That's a worthy trait, and it results in more engagement and people taking interest in you. If someone asked you about your weekend, and your honest answers provoke these type of responses in people, then you're on the right track. Maybe jumping out of planes is not your cup of tea. That's fine too. You just need to find things that you have an interest in and take steps towards quenching that interest. You can later impart new knowledge to people, or you might find people who share the hobby and want to do it with you in the future. The more interests you have, the more interesting you become. When you're engaged, you're engaging. These adages don't just sound clever, they ring true. People take an interest in those doing worthwhile things in their lives. You are also more likely to find someone who shares one or more of your hobbies. If you just have one single hobby, people will quickly find you boring because the odds of them sharing that interest are somewhat slim, and because you offer little to talk about. Imagine if all you talked about was collecting Star Wars action figures. Other than the occasional fanatic who also shares your hobby, most people won't be able to relate and won't find your conversation very interesting. They will like you less and avoid you when they realize that 1970s mint-conditioned Darth Vader dolls are all that you talk about, and thus they cannot relate to you on any level or find things to discuss with you that they care about. But if you're also into painting, you can find more people who enjoy that. Or you can appeal to a larger demographic of people because you don't just have that one single odd hobby that few others share with you. You're simply increasing your surface area of being interesting and engaging. This all carries into the idea that you should avoid being one-dimensional. I once had a boss whose sole interest, purpose, and passion in life was sports. That's it. The guy couldn't carry conversation like a normal person unless the topic related to sports. Or if the conversation was not about sports, he'd go out of his way to make sure it slowly became that way. This put off people who didn't like or care about sports. It also prevented him from getting involved in conversations that didn't involve sports, which limited what he could talk about and who he could talk to. Most people felt annoyed by him, and even people who liked sports found his extremism obnoxious, annoying, and off-putting. Avoid being like my boss. Always try to have something you're working on or toward, a project in your free time unrelated to work and unrelated to passive consumption of media via some type of screen. You don't have to set the bar to loving a passion, but rather just investigating something you're interested in. You will enjoy life more, learn a lot, and have more to talk about. Others will want to talk about your project and ask questions. Your new endeavor might also expose you to new people who share this passion, allowing you to broaden your social horizons. In the movie Yes Man, Jim Carrey is forced to start saying yes to everything. Literally everything. As a result, his life is transformed, and he has many unforgettable experiences that he would never have had otherwise. He meets the love of his life, goes on many adventures, and other such things. Well, you need to be like his character and get into the habit of just saying yes and never saying no. Cease the overthinking and giving yourself excuses to say no. You don't even need a reason to say yes, so saying yes should become very easy and automatic for you. Simply ask, why not, to kill the overthinking, and go along with the new experience. Don't set expectations for what happens. Just be curious about what will take place and maintain an open mind. Remember, for our purposes, you are truly becoming an interesting conversationalist if you have these experiences in your back pocket. Branch out. I'll never forget a child who sat down next to me at an old job and said, "Do you know what an elephant's pubic hair is called? It's called a dude." I later found out this was an accurate fact. The same concept comes into play in any conversation or interaction with a new person. You don't necessarily need to know and learn more for the sake of shocking people with new facts, but it is undeniably beneficial to how people view you. The more you know, the more you can talk about, and the more ways you can connect. Whereas the prior point was on doing more, this idea emphasizes educating yourself more, proactively gaining knowledge, instead of relying on it to come to you passively. Be more well-read. You'd be amazed what you can learn from books, or even just newspapers, 5 minutes a day. Being able to explain how things work, how things relate to each other, or what unique phenomena are, enlightens others and makes you more interesting. If you have little to say, that means you need to consume more in general and gain perspective outside of your everyday existence. The more you have to talk about, the better. This does not mean that you ought to be starting a conversation with someone and running through a handful of topics one after another. But the more knowledgeable you are about different things, the better the chances are that you and your conversation partner will connect and see eye to eye on something. You want to aim for breadth and touch on many topics as opposed to delving deeply into one sole topic. The act of knowing is more than simply being interesting. It makes conversation with you easy and oftentimes a delight. It allows you to teach, instruct, enlighten, lead, and always have something interesting to say. Develop and share opinions, even if you have to start by parroting other people's opinions. People love discussing their perspectives. Even if you disagree with someone, conversation follows. Without an opinion, conversation stalls and dies. An opinion shows that you are interested, that you've made some sort of decision based on the facts you have, and that you are active in thinking about the world as a whole. Just imagine how frustrating it is to ask someone where they want to eat for dinner, but they never have an answer. Don't be that person. Imagine this. You bring up Brexit, and you expect the other person to respond to you about it. But the other person has nothing to say. With a shrug, all he says is, "Oh, yeah, I heard about that." His lack of an opinion where you expect one freezes the conversation. There's nothing else to talk about, as that topic has been killed, and now you don't want to start a new topic because you're afraid he'll shoot that one down too. You'd be far more interested if you met someone who had a clear opinion on Brexit and was able to discuss it with you. A lack of opinion simply makes it seem like you don't think about things. Not everyone has had tons of life experience or exposure to the news, but everyone has the ability to be curious about new things and desire to learn. Having the curiosity to care about other people and new things will make others want to talk to you and explain things to you or teach you new ideas. Intellectual curiosity compels you to explore the world, both what's right around you and the world far away from you that requires a 16-hour flight or more to explore. You don't have to fly to another country to learn a new language, meet new people, and try exotic food. From home, you can broaden your horizons, become more engaged in the world around you, and thus become more interesting. All you need to do is take the first step and learn. At the same time, it must be said, doing more and knowing more isn't a panacea. You could be the most interesting person in the world, but no one will care if you engage in conversational habits that, for lack of a better word, repulse people. Indeed, as you might have seen in your daily life, sometimes it's an overall net gain if you don't have to deal with people who annoy the heck out of you, no matter how much of a benefit they represent. It's not a stretch to propose that you'd highly prefer someone who was milquetoast yet not irritating or frustrating. In other words, appearing benign and non-annoying will probably make you a better conversationalist than being someone who is actually interesting but has frustrating interpersonal habits. Thankfully, we've learned a multitude of conversational tactics to make you appealing and captivating. Now, let's make sure you're not exhibiting toxic habits and behaviors. These include: you only see black and white. Put another way, you only see one correct way of doing things, and anything that diverges from that view is wrong, and that way happens to be your view. This is a rather large caveat to the prior section's credo of branching out and developing more opinions and thoughts on issues. That still rings true, but you must express yourself while respecting and honoring the perspectives of other people. Most importantly, don't make them feel judged, attacked, or lesser than when you do express yourself. It's not just a small talk or conversation tip. It's a lesson for life. If you only see one way of doing things, if you are constantly governed by should and must, and if you typically assume people are stupid or blind, then you, sir or madam, are judgmental. When you're judgmental, this means you're jumping to a conclusion, and almost always a negative one, without taking life circumstances, opinions, and preferences into account. You assume the worst, usually, and it's based only on your limited perspective and life experience, and imposing it onto other people, should or must. If they don't conform, then suddenly they gain the title of stupid or blind. Being judgmental isn't all bad. When our inner judge is alerted, we're able to make clear decisions and avoid potentially dangerous situations. Being judgmental also helps us to be creative, clever, and insightful, but for most of us, it's a fairly thin line, and we can easily verge into offensive territory. Outside of only a few contexts, judgment actually holds very little use for us. Certainly, it is detrimental in the social context. Which of the below apply to you? You can't see people beyond their perceived flaws. You struggle to see the positive in others. You jump to conclusions first, then analyze later, if at all. You don't think in terms of ambiguity or shades of gray. There's only black or white. You are intolerant of people who come to different conclusions than you. Whether you're doing it by expressing yourself or dismissing the opinions and thoughts of others, this type of behavior can be truly hurtful and damaging to others. You might think you're open-minded, but if you only have criticisms and judgments of others, you're probably not. Just as you wouldn't want to be put in a box the moment you talk to people, others also don't respond all that well to feeling as if they're being judged. This is a hard habit to break because opinions can easily become personal. When you act this way, you tend to offend people and make them feel like they can't express themselves around you. In short, you become a full-fledged, card-carrying, badge-wearing member of the belief police. Open the door. You're wrong about something. A belief policeman makes it his or her duty to let others know when they're wrong and make sure they're thinking in the same way as them. A belief policeman might be very effective at imposing their beliefs on others, but this habit is going to make you downright obnoxious to talk to. Who wants to spend time with someone who makes them feel judged, attacked, and defensive? So people stop opening up to you and will eventually avoid you altogether. Little by little, this will aggregate into a sense of unease and discomfort around you, and at that point, people will just start to avoid you. There's a small chance that they might agree with some of the negative things you're saying, but that still doesn't make them feel safe around you. Eventually, they'll just avoid you so they can sidestep the feeling of having to censor themselves. Being belief policemen causes us to spend way too much time squabbling over things just because we feel that other people believe or think something different than we do and must be corrected. But at what cost does this come? And in the end, does it really matter? This is especially true when it comes to matters of taste and opinion. These are completely subjective. What looks good to you might be completely ugly to another person. You won't convince anyone to like chocolate more than they already do, or to enjoy beets when they hate them, so it's really a waste of your time, and an extremely annoying one at that, to exert your energy trying to convince them. If you feel that someone is doing something wrong, or thinking something wrong, instead of making that assumption, take a step back and wonder if you simply don't have enough information yourself. If somebody has an opinion, respect that they have a reasonable basis for that opinion. After all, no one thinks their own decisions and thoughts are stupid. Ask questions about how they came up with that idea and what information and assumptions they hold. You might just learn something. For instance, if someone drives into a parking spot that you were quite clearly waiting for, you might be tempted to think that they're just an inconsiderate and rude person. However, suppose that the person stumbles out of the car and falls to the ground, screaming that they're having a heart attack. Might your assessment of the situation change ever so slightly? You've probably done some things other people might find bizarre, but there was a perfectly rational reason for your actions, right? Extend the courtesy of that assumption to others. Give people the benefit of the doubt. At least assume that they have reasonable underpinnings for their opinions and beliefs. What experiences have they had in their lives that might explain why they hold a position in such contrast to yours? Remember that people have their own reasons for opinions and beliefs, and that not everybody thinks just the way you do. You can either recognize this or not. Hopefully, this is a mindset that will lead you to a more natural type of curiosity about others, if only to see what pieces of information you're missing. If all else fails, try to recognize that everyone is doing the best they can, the smartest they can, and the nicest they can with the circumstances they were dealt with. It's only when we feel that people are not doing their best or trying hard that our judgmental instincts arise. If we instead take the perspective that everyone is making their greatest effort, suddenly things change. Overall, choose your battles and don't fret about the small details of what you can't change. You'll be happier and less stressed, and you'll notice a direct positive correlation between that and the quality of your friendships and interactions. Takeaways. This book is littered with tips and tricks to make small talk less painful and flow more smoothly. It's been almost all outwardly focused on the other person, on the interaction, on what you can say to improve your social exchanges. While that's ultimately the most important part, there remains a vital part of the equation left for the end, looking inwards to yourself. From the perspective of others, are you someone who is easy to make small talk with? Are you someone who energizes and makes people curious? Or are you rather a drain on their precious energy? We have to make sure that our input is proportional to the type of output we want. Build thyself, and they will come. Not really, but the point is to truly look at yourself and ask, what is interesting? What are you really doing with your life? Are you the type of person others would want to meet and interact with? If yes, then your conversation resume better show it. If no, then it's time to take action and build yourself. Pursue what you're interested in. Actively engage in life and find passions or hobbies. Would you rather meet someone who surfs and dives recreationally or someone who only watches television on weekends? The more interests you have, the more interesting you become. And when you're engaged, you're engaging. In a similar vein, learn more, read more, express yourself to more, and think more. Stop relying on information to passively come to you. Proactively learn about what you are interested in. Have intellectual curiosity. Develop opinions by thinking through different perspectives and become more knowledgeable in general. These two points make you the type of person with whom free-flowing conversation happens naturally and doesn't have to be manufactured. With that said, you could be the most interesting person in the world, and no one will care if you have one of the most repulsive social habits, being judgmental. This is when you only see in black and white, and everyone falls into two categories, your perspective or the wrong one. You are a member of the belief police. You can bet that this is annoying and frustrating to others, to the point where it will eventually lead to them feeling unsafe around you and outright avoiding you. When you are feeling an urge to judge, try to instead take the perspective that you lack the information to make a smart judgment and become more curious about others and what you're missing. If all else fails, make the assumption that everyone is simply trying their best with what they have.